This week on the New York Gridcast, the Giants look to rebound from their loss to the Bears. Tom Coughlin returns to Jacksonville. Ohio State and Michigan will play for all the marbles in college football. Plus, we give you our unfettered analysis and predictions for all of the NFL games for Week 11. Stay tuned for the New York Gridcast. Well, welcome to the program. Week 11, the New York Gridcast. I'm John Fenley. Lots to cover today, especially last week's loss to the Chicago Bears, which we all know is a very disappointing loss. And I must say, I was extremely disappointed myself. 38-20, the score from the Meadowlands last Sunday night on national TV. Another debacle on national TV, have you? Well, mind you. The Giants, of course, looked a little outmanned on defense. Perhaps their defense caved in after the second quarter. Right before the half, the 3rd and 22. Chicago pretty much resigning the drive by calling a draw play to Thomas Jones. He gets 26 yards. Right then and there, that was kind of a backbreaker for the Giants. The Bears took that into the locker room. Instead of being down 13-3, they're only down 13-10. They come out in the second half, and they absolutely paced the blue. Very disappointing. I don't know what else to say. The most disappointing thing, I think, is the fact that the coaches, I know the players, feel as if they're being hindered. A lot of players. Not on defense so much, but on offense. On special teams, a little bit. You know, let's talk about special teams while we're at it. We're not getting any run backs on the punts or the kicks from Chad Morton. We have to do something to change this, whether it's Senioris Moss, whether it's Greg Jennings, whether it's Michael Jennings, or whatever the hell his name is. We've got to get somebody else in there with a little more speed. We can't keep starting every drive from the 20 or the 25. How about starting one from the 40 or the 50? Let's shorten the field with this. Number two, the Bears last year, the Bears ran back a missed field goal. 108 yards was Nathan Vasher. You know, this year it was Hester. Last year it was Vasher. They ran it back. Longest play in history. They do it again to the Giants. Why weren't we aware that they do this? We should have been ready to stop them. You knew Feely wasn't going to make that field goal. That's another thing. That's a terrible call. You got to punt there. You got to give up. Or go for it. One of the two. You know, that blew the game open for them. And then from then on in, you know, we were finished. We were done. But that being said, you know, we don't have a pass rush anymore. Tuck is out for the season now. Umanura, nobody knows when he's going to come back. And I'm going to tell you right now, Strahan's not coming back either. If he's got Lisfranc, that's a season ender. He can't come back from that. He may feel better. They may shoot him up. But he's going to go out there. He's going to hurt it worse. Then he's going to be gone. He's not going to be in training camp next year. You know, he's finished. He's done. Let's move on. They signed Lance Legree. He was working on Wall Street. You know, that's great. Pick up a guy who was working in an office job and put him on the defensive line. Well, he's just there for depth. Hopefully he's in some kind of shape. You know, he's not in game shape. Going to bring a guy in week 11? Who hasn't been practicing or playing all year? It's difficult. Well, maybe he's got fresh legs. Who knows? I could be wrong. But Umanura and maybe Kiwanuka and Joseph will probably play end. Pettigrew is out. He broke his leg. He's gone for the year. Toomer is gone for the year. All right. On offense, Bob Whitfield is going to be playing left tackle. That's a dangerous situation because I'll tell you what. He still has some gas in the tank. He still can play. But the better defensive ends are going to whiz by him. And that's going to be a problem. On the running plays, he's not bad. I mean, he's a big dude. He rolls people. But on the passing plays, he's not going to be able to handle these younger, faster guys. And it's no knock against him. I mean, he's you know, the guy's been around for years. I mean, you know, he's done. You know, he's part of his game is gone. And that's going to be a problem with the passing game. Speaking of the passing game, okay, You don't have Amani Toomer anymore, so you have one less option out there. Defenses don't pay attention to Tim Carter. I mean, we've seen that. I mean, they kind of like one-on-one him. He hasn't impressed. There's no reason for anyone to pay attention to him. My suggestion to the Giants is to move Jeremy Shockey into a flanker position. Use Jeremy Shockey like the Chiefs use Tony Gonzalez, like the Chargers use Antonio Gates. Use him. Okay, when he was drafted, Ernie Accorsi promised us. He said, I just didn't draft a tight end. I drafted a weapon. He's a weapon. Now, he's not a weapon in this offense. Okay, if he's not going out for a pass, you're doing that defense two favors. One, he can't catch the ball. All right, they don't have to worry about him. And number two, he's in blocking, something he doesn't do very well. He's gotten better over time, but he does not do that very well. We've got to do something there. We've got to get Shockey into the opposing secondary to scare the shit out of people. Okay? You've got to bring Brandon Jacobs in and run some screenplays with him. You've got to get him a full head of steam. You've got to get those defenses backing up. You've got to get them retreating. You've got to get them thinking that they're in a football game against a big physical team. Instead, we don't do that. We have Eli go back to pass, and he gets hammered. Why? Why are you doing this? Well, we give Tiki the ball. That's not a bad option. Guy's great. But still, take it to the other team. They're going to try to out-physical you. They're going to try to get in Eli's face. Okay? They're going to try to bang up Tiki. Get our big guys out there to bang them first. Scare them. We'll win a ball game. Especially Jacksonville. Jacksonville's a big physical team. They have to take it to Jacksonville. They have to show Jacksonville, hey, we're tough. We can do it. You know what I'm saying? That's what we have to do. I don't know what's going on with this team. Use Shockey as a receiver. That's all he can do. Get him off the line of scrimmage. You know, put Shanko in there to block and get him off the line of scrimmage. Even if they know he's getting the ball, they still have to have two guys addressing him. They still have to have those two guys address him. A safety, a corner, a linebacker, any combination, you know, of those three have to cover this guy. That'll give Burris a chance to maybe get some one-on-one, or Carter, or Barber out of the backfield, or Finn out of the backfield. Open up, get that box spread out. Against Chicago, they did not do that. Shockey didn't get the ball until 5 minutes left to go in the third quarter. Somebody said, oh, he was covered. Bullshit, he was covered. They didn't throw it to him. He was in blocking. He wasn't out for passes. We watched the game. Where was he? He was blocking. Or he was on the sideline. Can't help you from there. Get him out in people's secondary and cause commotion. As soon as he caught that pass, okay, first down, Chicago loosened the box. Next play, Tiki run has a big run. Play after that, Jacobs walks in the end zone. Walks. They didn't know what to do. He spread that defense out. They realized that, you know, here's a guy we've got to account for. We can't rush the passer because if we don't have enough guys to bring him down, we're going to have a problem. So they got to keep some people back. That opens up the running game. Tiki's big run. Jacobs' big run. Boom. Touchdown. What do we do for the rest of the game? Nothing. Nothing. All this kid does is turn and look for Plaxico. 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 Hand to Tiki. Plaxico. Short yardage. Give it to Jacobs. Can we be a little bit more unpredictable, guys? Let's get our ass in gear here. The season's on the line. We lose this game, we're 6-4. We're screwed. Because Dallas isn't going to beat Indianapolis. We'll get to that later. But Philadelphia is going to beat Tennessee. They're going to be 6-4. And I'll tell you what, they're not predictable on offense. Donovan McNabb gets the snap, looks for the open guy. Hey, there's a novel idea. Look for the open guy. Let's try that once in a while. Unbelievable. Now we're going to talk about something we normally don't talk about. College football, but you have to talk about college football. I mean, this week is the biggest game. A lot of people say it's not the biggest game ever. Well, you know what? It's the biggest game of the year. And it's the biggest game we've had in college football since they set this stupid BCS thing up. All the BCS does is convolute things further. Okay, it's still a subjective process. I don't see what they've achieved. All they've achieved is that the games are going to generate more money. Okay, it's sort of like a promotional body, the BCS. You know, we used to have a number one and a number two. They used to have like the UPI poll, the AP poll. If whoever was rated number one by those two, boom, they were number one. And you went on to your, you know, respective bowl games and whatever. That's the way it was done. Looking at the Ohio State-Michigan game, of course, the game's in Columbus. I'm a Michigan guy, so I'm not from Michigan, but I watch every game, and I've been watching this team for a couple years now. They have a hard time with Ohio State. They have a hard time when they go to Columbus. They're as good a team, man for man, but I don't think they'll win this game. I think they're going to lose this game. I think it's going to be close. A 7-point spread. Shouldn't be a 7-point spread. I think that may get bet down closer to game time tomorrow. Ohio State's clearly number one. Okay, clearly number one. They've crushed everybody except for Illinois. They only beat 17-10. But everybody else, they've really taken it to. All right. I think this game is going to be close. I think it's going to be something like... I predicted on the website, bluehorizonsblog.blogharbor.com, 31-29, something like that. 2 or 3 points. It's going to come down to a field goal either way. You know, Michigan may win this game, but I doubt it. They haven't been able to solve Troy Smith in the past. They're probably not going to be able to solve him tomorrow. He's going to be the Heisman Trophy winner. Anybody who thinks that he's not going to win this award, well, I don't know who you can put ahead of him. Brady Quinn, but Brady Quinn is sort of like this darling, this media darling. He's a good kid. Don't get me wrong. He's not the college football player that Troy Smith is. He may end up being a better pro player than Troy Smith. Troy Smith may not even end up being an NFL quarterback. But from what I've seen of Troy Smith, he's a better player. All right. He is, you know what? I'm going to say something about Troy Smith that may shock people. He's better than Vince Young. And Vince Young is playing okay in the pros. But I don't think Troy Smith is as big as Vince Young. I have to look that up. He doesn't play as big, but he makes the plays. I think he's a better arm. I think he can throw the football. I like him. I think he's going to win the Heisman. I think he's going to win this game somehow. And they're going to win the national championship. And he deserves it. I mean, he's played well. Michigan, on the other hand, has a very balanced team. You know, Mike Hart is a good runner. Manningham and Breston are good receivers. Breston's a good return guy. And Henny is a pro-style quarterback. Now, he'll be a quarterback in the pros. Whether he'll be a star, I don't know. You know, Brady Quinn, they're saying, is going to be a star. I think he's probably as good as Quinn, or almost as good as Quinn, if he's not as good as him. And Henny should probably be in any kind of Heisman speak as well. But Michigan has a problem. I mean, they haven't really played a lot of games where they've blown people out. I mean, last week, you know, they played, who'd they play, Indiana? I forget who they played. But, you know, they played a lot of close games. They beat Notre Dame. And, I mean, they crushed Notre Dame in South Bend. They walloped them. It was great. They play in the Big Ten schedule, as Ohio State does. Ohio State won in Texas. Everybody's making a big deal about that. Texas didn't turn out to be that good of a ball club. They won the national championship last year. Didn't turn out to be that good of a team. So that win, if they're going to hang their hat on that win, Ohio State's going to have an issue. But I still think they're number one. Look at, you know, Michigan's got some layups. They've got Ball State in there. They've got Central Michigan in there. But, you know, they beat Wisconsin. They went to Minnesota and won. They whipped Michigan State. The Penn State game was only 17-10. The home game against Iowa was close. Northwestern was only 17-3. But last week at Indiana, they won 34-3. They need to score more points if they want to beat this team. And I think they will. I think they're going to open up their offense a little bit They're going to have to, because Ohio State is going to go for the nines. So enjoy this game. And I think Ohio State's going to win. They're going to stay number one. If Michigan loses, do they stay number two? I think they do. I think they stay number two. Because I don't think USC is that good. They still have three games to go, USC. They're number three. They have three games to go. They're playing Cal. They've got to play Notre Dame. They've got to play UCLA. I mean, they could lose. If they lose one of those games, there's no way they could be national champion. There's no way they could play for the national championship. This is Ohio State and Michigan's final game, 12th and final game. Okay? So whoever wins this game will be undefeated. They will get a bid in the Tostitos Bowl on January 7th. They're going to beat it. The loser has got to go into the mix. Now, of that mix, like I told you, USC, okay, Florida. Now, Florida lost to Auburn. You know, they had a tough game against South Carolina. The SEC is a good conference, and that's gonna weigh a lot. But they have a loss, too. They lost to Auburn early on. I think they still have some games left. I'm not sure if they have any games. I think they have the SEC championship or whatever it is that they have to play. They still have to win some games. If they lose another game, they're done, too. Then you go to Notre Dame. You can't leapfrog Notre Dame over Michigan. Michigan crushed them. They whipped them in South Bend. Okay? And then six is Rutgers. Now, Rutgers, if they run the table, they're playing Cincinnati. In Cincinnati this week. It's a tough team. Cincinnati's 5-5, but, you know, they can still, you know, jump up and bite you. Then they're going to play home against Syracuse, who's the program's kind of falling down up there. And then they go to Morgantown on December 2nd. Now, West Virginia, number 8 in the country. Tough team. You know, they beat Pitt pretty good last night. You know, that kid Slayton's some runner. I mean, they've got a good team. And at home in December, Rutgers coming in there, and it's for all the marbles down there. That's going to be an issue. That's going to be an issue for Rutgers, you know. But if they win that game, they're 12-0. Do they get a chance to play in Phoenix? Because they're undefeated. The Big East isn't what it used to be. I mean, there's no more Miami, there's no more Boston College, and there's no more Virginia Tech. Louisville was ranked 3. They beat them. If they beat another ranked team in West Virginia, does that qualify them as a legitimate, undefeated national championship bid team? That'll be up to the BCS to figure out. Because I think if Rutgers played Michigan, they'd lose. They're just too small. Michigan, Ohio State, too big. I mean, these teams are too big. You know, Rutgers isn't there yet. But you never know. There's a lot of East Coast, you know, money to be made if Rutgers plays for a national championship. There's a lot of eyeballs on the East Coast that would definitely watch the national championship if Rutgers was in there. You know, they'd be like the darlings of the tournament. But I'll tell you, they're not as good. They're not there yet. Their program is evolving, and it's getting better. And I'd love to see it, you know, evolve all the way to like a big power, like almost like the new Miami of the East, except for the kids go to school. But, you know, I think Greg Schiano, the coach there, has the right idea. I think he's got the right methods. There's a lot of talent in New Jersey, Eastern Pennsylvania. Eastern Pennsylvania, New York, Delaware. You know, there's a lot of kids that could really change their mind and go to Rutgers and really beef that program up. I just hope this isn't a one-year thing for Rutgers. I don't think it is. But, you know, the national championship game, as far as I'm concerned, is tomorrow. The winner of that game will get a chance to play in the Tostitos Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, okay? The loser may get a chance. If not, the winner of this game is definitely going to win that game, going to win that championship game. Okay, so enjoy the game, like I said, and we'll be back next week. Well, there's still more of this show to go. We'll be back next week to analyze that game and the BCS. And now, of course, week 11's unabashed, unfettered, uncensored predictions for the National Football League. Are you ready? I don't know if I am. Each week, of course, we make three best bets. This all can be seen on our website, bluehorizons.blogharbor.com. We make three best bets, and then we kind of guide you through the NFL. And, you know, if you're a gambler, you know, you can take your pick or whatever. let's start with Atlanta at Baltimore. This is a best bet of mine. Baltimore laying 4.5 points in this game. They'll be without Ray Lewis, but Atlanta is reeling. I think they're ready to take the downward spiral. They're usually playing in domes, indoors, on turf. This time they'll be out in the elements. The Ravens have Steve McNair. The Falcons are missing three of their John Abraham, Patrick Kearney, and Rod Coleman aren't going to play. That's three of their front four right there. Three stars on their front four, all gone. No pass rush to get at Steve McNair. No victory for the Falcons this week, guys. I like the Ravens laying 4.5. I think it's time for them to move up in the standings, move up in the AFC hierarchy. They're 7-2. They'll be 8-2 after this game, and they'll cover this spread. St. Louis at Carolina. Carolina is laying 6.5 points. I don't like I like the Panthers, but I don't like them in this game, and I'm going to tell you why. They don't score a lot of points. Okay, the Rams do. For the Panthers to be laying, even though they're home, to be laying almost a touchdown to a team that can score, they can't score. They've been very inconsistent. I would take the points with the Cardinals. Not one of my best bets. It's one of your try your luck games. I like the Rams in this ball game. Next game is a divisional game in Cleveland. Cleveland is actually getting 3.5 points against the Steelers. The Steelers' offense came out of the closet last week. Okay, the defense didn't, but their offense did. If they could play offense in Cleveland this week, giving 3.5 points, they will win this football game. Okay, by at least a touchdown. You know, Cleveland does not have a good offense, and if Pittsburgh could stop the run at all, they're going to win this game easy. I don't think Cleveland's that good of a team. I know they beat the Jets. I know they beat the Falcons, but now the Steelers are starting to step it up a little bit, at least offensively. So I normally like that half a point at home. In this game, for some reason, it just doesn't. You know, I'm not enticed by it. I think the Steelers are going to win this football game, and if they're going to win this game, they're going to win it big. I think it's time for the Browns to take a seat, okay, because they're not a good team. And then they got to stop pretending to be a good team. Next game is a best bet of mine, Indianapolis, laying 1.5 to the Dallas Cowboys in Irving. All right, all of a sudden, Dallas is this league power. I don't see it. They lost to Washington, okay? They lost to the Giants. They didn't just lose to the Giants. They got beat up. One Manning beat them. Another one's about to beat them. The Colts, even though they played a tight game against Buffalo at home, doesn't mean that they're ready to lose. Doesn't mean they're ready to just... That could have been as close they come to a loss. I doubt it. Because they have to play a couple of more tough games. But Dallas makes too many mistakes. Okay? The defense isn't that good. Greg Ellis, I think, is out for the year now, so the pass rush isn't going to be that great. You know, Indianapolis can run the football. Adai is pretty good. Rhodes is pretty good. These guys aren't that bad. They could run the football. The Colts just have to make a couple stops. Game's over. If they win the game, they're going to cover the spread because it's only 1.5. I think they win the game. I think they go to 10-0. I think it's a no-brainer. I can't see how Tony Romo is going to beat them. And if he does, then I'm wrong. All right. I watched 40 years of football for no reason at all. I like the Colts. Okay. Now here comes one of our cold games. New England giving 5.5 to the Packers at Green Bay. Now, normally I would say, you know what? Take those points. But New England, for some reason, is pissed they lost two games in a row. You know, Green Bay does not have enough to combat a pissed off Patriot team, no matter where the game is. Frozen tundra, no frozen tundra, I don't care. I wouldn't bet my house on it. It's one of my one-star cold games. But if I was at gunpoint, had to bet the game, I'd bet the Patriots. Buffalo and Houston, I'm a little tepid about this. I like the way the Texans are playing. I don't like the Bills at all. They still don't have McGahee, I don't think. The game's in Houston. Buffalo played tough against Indianapolis. We know that. But Houston played tough here in New York. They won last week, so... I like the Texans. I think the Texans are an up-and-coming team. I think the defense is playing very well. And like we said in prior broadcasts, Mario Williams is, he's the real deal. I mean, it's a good team. I think it's an up-and-coming team. If Carr can stay protected, if they can run the ball a little bit, they're going to win games. They're going to beat the lesser teams in the league, and Buffalo's one of those lesser teams. So look for Houston to win this game and cover. Oakland at Kansas City. Kansas City laying 9.5. Well, I'll tell you what. Kansas City lost to Miami in Miami last week. They'll be looking in. They need a win. Okay, so they're going to win this game. Trent Green's coming back. Oakland kind of stumbled, although they're playing the Broncos tight for some reason. All right, don't think they're a good team. They're on the road. They're in Kansas City. They're going to get their ass kicked. Okay, I don't know if Kansas City will cover the 9.5. If I was to bet, I would say yes. They'll cover the 9.5. Excuse me. Minnesota at Miami. These are two teams that no one really could predict. It's one of my cold games. Miami's laying 3.5. They don't score a lot of points. Neither do the Vikings. So you're probably looking at a close game. And if it's a field goal, I'd be hard-pressed to lay 3.5. So that's why I would take Minnesota in this game. Because everyone else would say, oh, Miami, yeah. But, you know, you're laying that half a point in a very close game of two very unpredictable teams. Two teams whose season is shot, by the way. Neither one of them will be in the playoffs. And I would just take the points. I really can't analyze this game, but, you know, push comes to shove, take them. Cincinnati at New Orleans. New Orleans is also laying 3.5. Now, you saw what Cincinnati can do on offense. I mean, San Diego's defense is not that good. I mean, we know that. New Orleans' defense just got crushed by Pittsburgh. Now, if Pittsburgh did that to New Orleans, what will Cincinnati's wide-open Carson Palmer run offense do to them? Okay, this spread should be a flat spread because I don't think that the Saints' defense is that good. The Cincinnati offense is that good. Their defense isn't that good either. So this is going to be another high-scoring game for the Bengals. And getting 3.5, I got to take the points. You know, I got to take the points. And I almost think they win this game. I think they beat the Saints here, but I could be wrong. Chicago Bears coming back to the Meadowlands to play the Jets. Now the Jets are getting 6.5. We saw what the Bears did to the Giants, but the Jets are healthy. The Jets, as we've seen, can run the football. The Jets, as we've seen, can catch the football. The Jets, as we've seen, can play special teams. The Jets, as we've seen, can play defense. Now, I may get it a little bit redundant and boring, but the Jets are redundant and boring, but they stay in football games. And I think they're going to win this football game. I don't think they're just going to cover the spread. They're going to beat the Bears. Rex Grossman, they're going to blitz him. They have very fast linebackers, the Jets. The Jets have a good defense. Eric Mangini has done an outstanding job. And if the Jets did not lose in Jacksonville, and I think it's the Cleveland game that'll kill them, but if they did not lose in Jacksonville by that much, or to Jacksonville, I think they make the playoffs this year. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but I think they're going to win this football game. This is also a tweener game for the Bears. You know, they're coming east, they're playing the Giants and the Patriots, and that lit up their eyes. There's that little gully there. There's a game in the gully that you have to play the Jets. The Jets are actually the toughest team of the three at this point of the season. Giants are so banged up, they couldn't give you a game. New England's out of sync. The Jets are in sync. Okay? I think the Jets win this football game. I think they win it. Okay? So take the points, at least. If they don't win it, they're going to cover that spread. So take the points. Philadelphia hosts the Tennessee Titans. This is another one of my best bets. I love this game. I love the Eagles when they play quarterbacks, especially rookie quarterbacks. Jim Johnson is the master of getting... Remember what he did to Eli Manning when Eli was a rookie. Okay? He's the master of getting rookie quarterbacks to make mistakes and flummox them, for lack of a better word. So Vince Young's going to come into, you know, Franklin Memorial, whatever the hell the name of that stadium is, Lincoln Memorial Field. The Eagles have a surprise for him. They're going to make him turn that football over two or three times. Plus, the Eagles' offense and special teams, they're like a juggernaut. They score a lot of points. Donovan McNabb came into this league. No one thought he would be that good. I'll tell you what, he's one of the best in the game. You know, people say he gave up in a Super Bowl, blah, blah, blah. I'd rather have him than Eli Manning. Donovan McNabb is up there for MVP this year. He's going to be up there for MVP. This Eagle team is on a roll. Okay, they walloped Washington last week. It wasn't even close, that game. All right, and Washington and Tennessee are right in the same wheelhouse. Okay, they're right in the same ballpark. This is a 12.5 point spread, but I like the Eagles to score 38 to 41 points and not give up more than 17. So this is going to be a safe lay right here of 12.5 points. Love the Eagles. All right, Washington goes to Tampa Bay in a game that nobody really cares. These are two teams that are just going right down the toilet. Tampa Bay didn't look good at all against Carolina. Washington got hammered by, you know, Philadelphia, as we said. If you were to, without Clinton Portis, Washington can't really run the ball. They got a rookie quarterback. 3.5 points at home. Tampa Bay is laying 3.5 points. I would have to take Tampa Bay, the lesser of two evils. Their defense is banged up. Washington, banged up. You know, don't bet the game. If you don't like your money, you'll bet the game. I wouldn't bet this game at all. Another game I wouldn't bet is Detroit at Arizona. Arizona has shown absolutely nothing. Detroit at least has won a game, won a couple of games that meant something. Arizona hasn't done anything. They're just getting worse. Ever since the Chicago game where they ended up firing coaches or demoting coaches, they've just gotten progressively worse. And Matt Leinart has kind of gone into a shell where he's making just rookie mistakes that you wouldn't think he would make because he's got that much talent. But I like Detroit. They're getting 2.5 points. The spread doesn't really matter. I think they're just going to win the game. They're going to win the football game. And another game that I don't think matters, Seattle at San Francisco. Again, this is a trap game. Okay, Sean Alexander says he might play. How healthy is he? We don't know. Hasselbeck's not playing. San Francisco is getting 6.5 points, and we've seen them cover at home getting points before. I haven't played the Seahawks, but I like San Francisco to cover in this game. I don't think they're going to win it. I think it's going to be a close game, and I think they're going to cover the spread. So if you don't like your money, you'll bet this game again. Now we come to the two games that we wanted to feature. San Diego travels to Denver. Denver is laying 2.5 points. A lot of people say, why isn't San Diego favored in this game? Both teams are 7-2, by the way. Why isn't San Diego favored? They can run the football. They can throw the football. I'll tell you what. Denver, no matter what you've done in the past, when you go to Denver, forget it. Forget it. You're facing the Broncos in Denver. Okay? That's a difficult task. They know what San Diego has. They know how to combat LT, LaDainian Tomlinson. Phillip Rivers is basically a rookie quarterback, okay? This is his first full season, all right? Denver has a pretty good running game. They've got an active defense. Plummer is making less and less mistakes as the season goes on. It's got Javon Walker in sync now. It's got Rod Smith. I'll tell you what. I like Denver in this football game. If they lose this game, they lose a division. because they have to travel. They've got some tough games. They got to go to San Diego again. They need to win this game. I think they're going to win this game. I think Shanahan versus Schottenheimer is always fun because you got an innovative coach against a guy who doesn't innovate very well. And also, you know, the Schottenheimer does not coach very well for some reason on the road in big games. This is a big game. This is as big as they come. Even though it's only week 11, or the 10th game, this is a huge game because the winner has the inside track in a division. I like Denver in this football game because I think Shanahan knows how to win these games. I don't think San Diego's defense can do anything at this point without Sean Merriman. He's still out. He's still suspended. The pass rush is diminished. They don't play the run as well. You know, if I were you, this is a lukewarm game. This is a try your luck game. But Denver laying the 2.5. Now all I got to do with that is win by a field goal. You're in. I think that's what it'll come down to. All right, Giants at Jacksonville. This is, of course, our featured game of the week. Jacksonville is laying 3.5. That is way too many points for Jacksonville to be laying to anybody, a team that's lost to Houston twice. They're figuring the Giants are banged up and they won't be able to do anything. But I'll tell you what, they have enough defense to stop that Jacksonville offense. They just don't have a very good offensive club, Jacksonville. They've got some decent receivers. Fred Taylor is old, banged up. Not old, but banged up. Okay? And David Garrard will play over Byron Leftwich. He's played okay, but he's not going to take anybody to the playoffs. The Giants' defense has enough right now, I think, to combat this Jacksonville offense. Now, on the other side of the ball, the Giants have to open things up and clear the box, as we explained earlier in the broadcast. They do that, they win this game. They do that, they win this game. I mean, this is a tough game for the Giants. In the beginning of the year, I circled this game as a loss. But now I've seen Jacksonville play. I think the Giants can win this football game. All right? And that's it. So our best bets to recap again. Baltimore laying 4.5 to Atlanta. Indianapolis laying 1.5 to Dallas. And Philadelphia laying 12.5 to Tennessee. Good luck and enjoy the ball game.